Previously on Cliff and Candle, Coast to Coast.
Well, dear, I don't want to keep you during your show. I know you're doing a fabulous job. I have many, many things I have to take care of as the queen of the Cicadas Festival. I have to go around town and say hello to all the children.
Well, you have a good time as the queen of the Cicada Festival, Mrs. Potterbutter Bertrand. I know your coronation is in an hour, and so we're going to try to be done and be there with you, okay?
Okay, dears. Yes, I can't wait. I'll see you later, dears. A toodaloo. All right.
Bye.
Oh,
my God. Oh, I hate these things, Cliff. They're awful. They are no joke.
Get ready for a heap and help and assassitude. Here comes Cliff and Kendall.
Cliff and Kendall, two big old boys from Nashville, grew up and branched out all across America. From thousands of miles away, they reunite online and in your ear, each week bringing you bits of humanity in the form of a podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall.
Oh, Cliff, why don't you bring it in the form of a podcast? Bring it.
Kendall, I want you to promise me something that your mother and my mother and all of our parents always want from everybody. I want you to promise me that you are going to go hard or go home.
Cliff, I go hard every day. I hit that buffet so hard.
Oh, Kendall, I had a crisis earlier in the day and yesterday.
Yes.
And for the last 30-ish years.
a continual
Kendall,
crisis.
And I am not in charge of my life. I'm not.
Mr. Snodbottom?
I'm not in charge. No, not even the mighty powers of Mr. Snodbottom. I'm not in charge. Amy Grant was wrong. God is not in control.
Cliff, I think everybody that listens to the show knows that you're not in control of your body or your life from all the belches that fly out.
Food is in control of my life, Kendall. It is in control of my life. It is a battle. That's why they call it the Battle of the Bulge.
It's an evil mistress that I sneak off with.
Hideous bitch goddess.
I sneak off away from my wife every night with food. I have a little affair.
A little affair, Kendall.
Buffet
oh
style.
Oh, no. Kendall, but that is... Now, your parents, who
Whoa,
do you
that's
think...
Whoa, that's right. That's what we're talking about. We're not who talking about fat. Think... Who knew?
Who do you think you got this insatiable hunger from?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't see it.
Back through your grandparents, maybe. Trace it. Trace the bloodline.
It must be back from the Irish in the 1400s. No, I don't know. I have not witnessed anybody else in my family, other than a few people that are not like closely tied to me, that just like eat like that. I've broke the mold. I'm first in the generation of obese eaters in my family.
Well, you know, I don't know. My family, I have a lot of people in my family who are like me. They are Weight Watchers experts.
I'm a Fat Watchers. I'm not a Weight Watchers anymore. I just watch the fat grow and grow and grow.
Grow and grow. So I don't know. I think mostly it comes from one side. I hate to name sides and say which side.
Except for my left love handle side and my right love handle side.
My sides are so enormous that you previously used that you see parts of my body so bulged out. You're like, I didn't even know that was a body part until, because on everybody else it's so small.
I thought you had a big fanny pack around
you. Yeah, oh my God. Nobody wear fanny packs, okay? Promise me this, listeners.
Go hard or go home and don't wear a fanny pack.
Yeah.
There are certain inalienable truths.
Go home. Kendall, what else do you think? Do you think it's inevitable? For you and the listeners, is it inevitable that we're going to turn into our parents?
Well, I'm sorry. I hate to say this. I got distracted because I was looking at a picture of you and I from our photo shoot where we were real skinny, and I got really sad, and I stopped listening to what you were saying. We were so skinny. with so much hair and life lay before us.
We gotta take all these big posters down from the studio. They are distracting to see all the younger, thinner selves.
Parents, yes. Cliff, I've learned lately that I'm becoming more... Well, first of all, I'm becoming more and more like my mother because I'm... Yeah. I hear something... You know, some noise around the corner, and I think there's a mass murderer about to kill me. That's because of all the stories she's told me over the years. So I've become a little bit like her in that respect, and in the hoarding of anything I can get my hands on.
Thanks. Yeah.
But
you are. Oh my God. I wish you were a hoarder, and then I could be the friend that they show that comes over like to help you unhoard the house.
Yeah. No, that I'm a food hoarder. There's food hidden in every crevice. But,
oh my God, let me tell you this about you and your hoarding, okay?
Okay.
Buried Alive, Hoarders. Have you seen it on the Learning Channel?
I have.
Oh my God, I was watching one a couple weeks ago, and it was this woman. She had hoarded so much that she did not even have a pathway in her house. Have you seen this one? Usually the hoarders, they'll make piles and piles of junk, you know. But then there's a path to get through. Go to the bathroom, you get in and out the door. You know? This woman did not even have a path. Kendall, you know, she was walking on top of shit. Her head was like grazing the ceiling.
Well, do you know, when I was growing up, I don't know why we're talking about hoarding now. But when I was growing up, there was a woman that lived down the street from us who died. And they were having a big like auction. And so me and other few friends of mine that were all kids, we like went up there to see what was going on, and we went in the house while they were auctioning off stuff out front.
Yeah.
And one room was just like, it was like mountains of stuff that we just climbed. We had to like climb up on and look over. Her house was that like cluttered. It was crazy. But anyway, and I've also become a lot like my dad in the respect that as he got older, he got a little grumpy and a little more like. Uh-huh. I feel like I'm starting to be more like that. I'm just getting more grumpy and irritable.
Yeah. Also on that episode of Hoarders, Buried Alive, the woman with no pathway, she had a friend. You know, they had the friend come over. But the friend came over, and she was like me, if I come to help you unhoard the house. She was trying to help it, and they were talking about it, and the friend was like, you didn't know that your house was like this? And the woman was like, well, you know.
Why did she say that on TV? look at me. I've become so bad. I have become so bad. I did not used to be like this.
Anyway, the friend.
Forget becoming our parents. I'm becoming you, Cliff. I'm belching. I'm listening to Lady Gaga all the time.
More on that in a moment, this woman, the friend, she came and she could not stop laughing. She started like having this giggle fit about her friend's hoarding.
Sounds like you.
And there's no pathway. And finally, it just cut to the hoarder, you know, one of the talking camera hand things. And she's just like, well, I had to ask my friend to go home because she just wasn't helping anymore. She just couldn't stop laughing at the hoard. Oh my gosh, Kendall. Oh. But we are turning into ourselves, right?
Yes. Into ourselves.
Listeners, I want you to turn into yourself today.
No, that's the title of our next episode, Turning Into Yourself. No, I...
We're turning into each other.
We're turning into each other, yes. Started a long time ago. But, I'm becoming more bald and fat, and you are becoming more bald and fat. there are many other ways. Like I said, I'm belching all the time on the show now. I've lost any kind of prudish ways that I had. Episode 200 is going to be all new show. It's going to be the prude and the crude.
We got to rechristen it because it's that far. If anybody were to listen back, take a time travel machine and travel back and hear old episodes, if there was any way for you to do this, then you would see we'd say, oh, crude and the prude, like we were two different people. We used to just have that facade up, Kendall.
We were at that point.
We were, Kendall. And that's no joke.
Oh, that's no joke. Wow, that was the longest story about hoarding that I've ever heard.
Well, Most people tune into a podcast and they prefer if the topic of the show is a blow-by-blow recap of something that they watched on cable.
So. Well, we did it. We blew it by blew it, Cliff.
We blew it by blew it. You know, how many times have I heard that today?
All right, Cliff, tell me a joke.
Kendall, there was this man who was having problems with, guess what, premature ejaculation. Ooh. Whoa! So he went to his doctor to ask about a cure. And the doctor, he said, well, when you feel like you're getting ready to ejaculate, try startling yourself.
Oh.
And so the same, of course, we would do that by looking in a mirror and see the fat bags hanging off our body.
Yes.
And that would be startling.
That's why I don't make love except it's in the dark.
The same day, the man went to the store and bought himself a starter pistol. And all excited to try the doctor's suggestion, he ran home to his wife and he found her in bed, naked and waiting.
Oh.
And as the two and as the two began, they found themselves in the 69 position.
Uh-oh.
And Kendall, this man, moments later, he felt a sudden urge to ejaculate.
Uh-oh.
And he fired the starter pistol.
Oh no.
The next day, Kendall, the man went back to the doctor. He said, well, how did it go? And the guy says, well, not that well. When I fired the pistol, my wife shit on my face, bit my penis, and my neighbor came out of the closet with his hands in the air.
I was about to say, I felt it strange that she was just waiting for him naked at home while he was gone to the doctor.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Cliff, beloved listeners. My God, what happened to you? Said this bartender. He asked Kyle as he hobbled onto a crutch, one arm in a cast. And Kyle, he said, oh, I got in a tiff with Riley. He says, Riley, why, he's just a wee fellow, the barkeep said, surprised.
Yeah, that is surprising.
He must have had something in his hand. That he did, Kyle said. A shovel it was. Dear Lord, did you have anything in your hand? And I did, Mrs. Riley's left tit, Kyle said, and a beautiful thing it was, but not much use in a fight.
Whoa, Kendall, your Irish side. Your fat Irish side is coming out.
That's where it comes from. I can't do anything about it. Cliff, tell me a story.
You do kind of look like a potato, Kendall.
Oh.
One time we did a show called That's Money, Honey, about money saving tips.
Oh, cha-ching.
And as a painless way to save money, a young couple agreed that every time they had sex, the husband would put his pocket change into a china piggy bank on the bedside table. That's kind of like paying for it, folks. Pay it forward, everybody. One night, while being unusually athletic, he accidentally knocked the piggy bank onto the floor, Kendall, and it smashed.
Oh, no.
To his surprise, Kendall, among the masses of coins, there were handfuls of $5 and $10 bills.
Whoa.
And he asked his wife, he said, what's up with all the bills? And she replied, well, not everyone is as cheap as you are. Oh, my God.
Sluts. Sluts. I can't believe you would think after years of our show, we would have run out of stories about loose sluts, but no.
You would think, but they just keep writing them. Our writers, they're eating cheese and crackers right now.
It just keeps happening, and they keep writing about it. Cliff, an old man goes to the wizard to ask him if he can remove a curse that he has been living with for 40 years, Cliff. And the wizard, he says, maybe, but you'll have to tell me the exact words that were used to put the curse on you. And the old man said without hesitation, I now pronounce you man and wife.
Oh, no.
He was cursed with 40 years of marriage, Cliff.
Oh, my God. Kendall.
Yes.
Listeners.
Okay.
On their honeymoon, Harriet said to her new husband, well, Eddie, how many men have you slept with?
What a beautiful story.
And he says, if I tell you, you'll freak out. And she says, well, no, I won't.
Was that Vin Diesel?
And then Vin Diesel, he replies,
okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you. 9, 10, 11, 12. Oh my god, Kendall, he's been fucking women their whole relationship. Kendall, probably on the honeymoon. Kendall, somebody call Sally Jesse, get her out of retirement for Vin Diesel. And
I missed that joke. Somehow I have to pray on it. I was waiting a punchline and I realized that it already happened.
Oh. That's the way they do. That's the way it happens. Sometimes the cookie crumbles in that fashion.
Woo! All right, Cliff. This highly timid little man.
Oh, no.
Casper Milquetoast is his name.
Oh,
he ventured into Milquetoast. A biker bar in the Bronx, and clearing his throat, he asked, which of you gentlemen owns a Doberman tied outside to the parking meter? I think he may have been a doctor in a previous life, Cliff.
And I think he might have been Ed Sullivan in the previous maybe. Life.
So this giant man, wearing biker leathers, his body hair growing out through the seams, turned slowly on his stool, looked down at the quivering little man and said, "It's my dog, why?" He says, "Well," squeaked the little man, obviously very nervous, "I believe my dog just killed it, sir." And the cop said, "What?
Oh, no.
What in the hell kind of dog do you have?" And he said, "Sir, it's a 4-week-old puppy." And the man said, "Bull, how could your puppy have killed my Doberman?" And the man said, "It appears that he choked on it, sir."
Oh, no.
Choked on it, Cliff. Choked on it.
He choked on a puppy. Kendall, for the first time, I feel like I really am experiencing the show the way you do.
See, I told you we're changing places. You always do the jokes like that. Excuse me, I'm the doctor. Yes.
Oh my god. Kendall, a man and a woman, oh my god, were traveling in their car.
Oh,
and
great
the man
story.
Was driving. Oh, the man was driving when a police officer pulled him over. And the officer walked up to the window and he said, "Do you know where you were speeding back there?" And the lady, who was almost deaf, Kendall, said to her husband, "What did he say? What did he say?" And the man turned to his wife. He said, "I was speeding." And the officer then said, "Where are you from?" And the wife then said, "What did he say? What did he say?" Oh, Kendall.
Shut that bitch
up. Can you believe it? It goes on. It keeps going on. And the man turned to his wife and he says, "Well, he wanted to know where we came from." And he turned to the officer and said, "We're from Chicago." And the officer then said, "Well, shit. You know, I had my worst ever in Chicago."
Oh, my.
And the lady said, "What did he say? What did he say?" And the man turned back and said, "He says he thinks he knows you."
That's an oldie but a goodie.
What an old bitch of a joke, Kendall. Why?
Oh, Cliff, I don't know why. I've got to take a break and ponder why.
Don't know why we tell these jokes.
Don't go away, listeners.
We'll be right back.
Hey, you've made it this far into the show. It'd be a shame to give up now. Cliff and Kendall will be right back after the break.
Going down my gullet, swimming through my colon, sitting on the toilet all of the time. It's fiber, fiber, gotta have my fiber. If I plan on having a good BMBM, fiber, fiber, gotta have my fiber. If I plan on having a massive BM, colon health, colon health, colon health, colon health. Can't wait to have a BM.
Fiber! Fiber!
And now back to the show. We'll be right back.
We're back. Oh. We're back, and we're even more like our parents than when we left.
Even more? Did I tell you what I did over the break that we just had? Spring break, I refer to the break that we just had. I've always referred to that one as spring break. But, no, the break that we just came back from, Kendall, did I tell you what I did on the break?
No, you didn't. I was wondering where you went.
I went out to the strawberry patch, Kendall.
We have a strawberry patch, Cliff? Is that what Mr. Starbottom does in his free time? He started a strawberry patch?
You know, he started it. He demanded it. But then he lost interest, what with his romance with Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn.
Yeah, well, who takes care of the strawberry patch?
Tyler. Tyler is out there cultivating strawberries. Good old Tyler. Constantly. When he's not letting out my pants.
or letting something else out of your pants.
God!
Look, I have become such a crude on this show.
You have been a crude, but I do love to see him out there all sweaty and cultivating strawberries. But what a healthy choice I've made.
I bet people love to watch me sweatily picking strawberries.
I think that's what bulimics do if they're having trouble activating their gag reflex.
They watch videos of me sweaty picking strawberries. They're like, oh, there it comes! There it comes! My phone has been blown up by all the kids.
Oh,
they have been texting me like crazy with all the things kids are saying.
Your phone plan won't support that many texts from the kids.
I don't have that many text messages available to myself. But
kids, give it a break.
But you know, we used to say things that our parents used to say. Oh my God, what are they saying? It's just what the kids are saying. Well, now, Cliff, we have turned to our parents because we are saying the same thing. We're like, what are these kids saying, Cliff? What are they saying?
Oh my God.
What are they saying?
Sorry. Hold on. I was about to tell you to add 5 minutes to your walking time, but that's a health tip.
That's more on that later. Tip.
More on that in some amount of time. Listen. Kendall! Minge.
What?
Minge.
Binge? Like binge?
Do you know? But with an M. Minge. Kendall.
No idea.
Do you know what the minge is?
No, I don't. Like the mange?
Kendall, you are a big... You're big everything, but you're especially a big fan of the minge because it's the fur-lined entrance to the spasm chasm.
I knew this was going to be great because you couldn't get through it. You couldn't even say it to tell me.
The spasm chasm.
Oh, you know I love a good spasm chasm, Cliff.
You do, JJ. And the minge, it's edible, but can induce retching if hairs come loose and lodge in one's throat.
Oh, tidy up.
Somebody, remember there was an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where Larry had a little pubic hair in his throat, and he could have said, I was munching minge till my jaw ached.
Minge muncher.
Minge Muncher, I'm gonna get you a t-shirt. Listeners, his t-shirt size is XXX. Send him a t-shirt.
No, if you give me a XXX, it won't fit. I need a 4X. Do you know what Google harder is? And it's not what you think.
Google me harder. It's what two robots say when they're having sex.
Oh, it could be. That's a possibility. But what the kids are telling
Google me harder.
Is that, Cliff, it's a phrase used to respond to someone whining about not being able to find something. So somebody says,
what a whiny bitch.
If somebody says, oh, I've been searching for Cliff and Kendall all over the place online, but I can't find them, then you would say, Google harder, bitch. Harder. We're there. We are there. Search images, and we'll take up the whole page.
Oh, Kendall. I want you to know, this one the kids are saying, and it's kind of cute. The kids are saying, see if you think this is cute. In kind of a Wonder Years kind of way.
Cute little minge munchers.
Little is funny you say little. This is called a mini makeout.
Oh.
And it's a kissing session similar to a makeout, but without using the tongue. often used among 14-year-old lovers who aren't supposed to make out with tongue yet or think it's gross. And the little kid might say, well, we had a mini makeout session. It was so hot, but we didn't use any tongue.
Cliff, do you know what a Hot Pocket is? Now, I know you've had lots of experience over the years with what you think a Hot Pocket is, but that is different than what the kids are saying these days.
Gandalf.
Cliff, a Hot Pocket. Yeah. Now, I heard this while I was in Hawaii, and I thought, I heard a child say it in real life, and I thought, I have to say this on the show. Cliff, it's the act of shitting inside of a fold-out couch and then reclosing it, leaving it for an unsuspecting guest. Cliff, if anybody leaves a Hot Pocket in my fold-up couch, they're going to come back and they're going to clean it. They're going to bleach it.
Oh, Kendall, spray some bleach water
on that. It's also known as a Upper Decker Mexican waffle or trunk muffin.
Ooh. Kendall, is this also what it's known as? You tell me. In Alabama, they have found a new use for Hot Pockets. The Alabama Hot Pocket. Kendall, this is when a man excretes fecal matter into a female's vagina. And in exchange about this might go, what's that smell? Oh, well, Claire's brother just gave her an Alabama Hot Pocket.
Ooh, I'm sort of disgusted. I can't even go on.
Kendall, with Alabama making great strides in progress, they found a new use for sheep. Whoa! I thought they would be above these Alabama Hot Pockets.
Cliff, do you know what a turd burglar is?
Is that like a discarded, that was the original, the Hamburglar, but they cleaned him up.
They were like, I don't know if turd goes well with McDonald's. Cliff, a turd burglar is when you finally find an empty public restroom to take a dump so massive, Cliff, that it requires complete solitude for the deposit. And then somebody walks in. Cliff, it's just like you are looking for a bathroom, you find one, it's all to yourself, and you say, just as I was about to release the beast, some turd burglar entered the bathroom, causing my sphincter to snap shut.
Oh. Not a shut snap sphincter. Oh, Kendall, have you ever heard, sometimes somebody might say, well, that's a load of off. Kendall.
Nope.
This is a term used to describe a blatant lie or false statement. See also bullshit.
I heard that
Somebody might say, well, that's a load of fuck off, Cliff and Kendall. You are so fucking fat, you can't possibly be watching your Weight Watcher points.
I'm watching my fat grow.
I reply.
And that's what Cliff and Kendall are saying.
If only we were not.
If only we were not. Although you continue to do it every episode. Cliff, now that is what the kids are saying. But now we got to find out what the parents are saying.
Because
my mother, God love her, Cliff, she is so worried about everything. So she has called in to give us a little bit more news. It's time for the news from Kendall's mother with all the news that's fit to worry about here, there, and everywhere. All right, Cliff, let's find out what my mother has to say.
Hello? Hello? Okay. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Well, this is Kendall's mom with breaking news about California. The mommies have come and gone, and once again, Kendall has escaped, but...
Thank
Kendall,
God.
Be warned, there is more coming, and you know it.
Deep down, you know it.
You are right on the edge of the ocean, and that means more than... You just don't know what all's happening out there, because I catch on HLN, and I know everything goes on. I see the car chases, I see the kidnapping, and I see the abduction, and the all them people from Mexico over there, coming over there, grabbing people, taking them back over, beating them up and cutting them up and killing them. I don't know if what's going to happen up there, but the best thing you do, I think, is just get out as fast as you can. Me and Cliff has to worry about you all the time.
Even she gets
mixed
up.
Me and Cliff are sitting here in Nashville, and we're fighting off cicadas, worrying about you. Worrying about Kendall, that's all we do. And you called the other day and you said, big car chase on the street in California. Turned it on, and there it was. Right there where Susan worked. If she'd been getting off from work, it should have been goner. You know that?
Goner.
It's been a goner. And then you'd been looking for him, you'd been a goner too. So.
Goner.
That's how you'd been goner.
That'd be awful. So, I'd be goner too.
Well, tell me it's Butterworth or Bertie Weather or whoever she is and that other, them other people that y'all talk to out there. Hello, and just keep me in mind and come home as soon as you can. Love you both.
Oh, my mother. God love her, Cliff.
Oh. Kendo, isn't it funny to have such a perfect vision into your own future?
Of what?
Of you.
Ooh. Oh, Cliff.
Ooh, Kendo, I wish it was Halloween.
And my future, Cliff, is so sad.
Kendall, she said it's a big D dangerous. I am the big F.
You are the Cliff. You are the big double F. Fucking fat.
Fucking so fucking huge.
Oh, if our listeners, Cliff, if they want to find out,
all I can eat is strawberries. All I can have is strawberries. Tyler's got to get to planting more.
If our listeners want to find out more about our parents, Cliff, go to cliffandkendall.com. cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall, email us at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com, or please, please, please call us on our fat line at 818-3084-FAT so we can play it on the show.
Yeah, Kendall, I want you to know, sooner or later, we all quote our mothers. And oddly, was not said by my mother, but that was said by Burn Williams.
Oh, that is wonderful. Well, Cliff, we are the people our parents warned us about. And that was good old Jimmy Margaritaville Buffett.
Oh, Kendall, your parents, they give you your life. Hopefully they don't give you that. Your parents, they give you your life, but then they try to give you their life. And that was said by Chuck Palahniuk. Oh my gosh, Kendall, oh no.
Cliff, take us home down those parental roads.
Take me home, Rental Road. I'm Claire.
And I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you here next week.
Oh, we love you.
Thanks for listening to today's show, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.